You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Mr. Huxley is Dead. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Mr. Huxley is dead. Aldous Huxley was born in 1896 in Surrey, England. Born into a literary family, he published three collections of short poems in which he satirized English society of the 1920s. However, it's the novel that appeared in 1932 for which Aldous Huxley is best known. Brave New World is his prophetic look at a society he feared was coming. Today's first reading from Brave New World is set in the Central London Hatchery and Conditioning Center. In this building, babies are mass-produced in bottles, not in the womb. And when the time is right, the baby is decanted, not born. Now the first reading. One by one, the eggs were transferred from their test tubes to the larger containers. Deftly, the peritoneal lining was slit, the marula dropped into place, the saline solution poured in. And already the bottle had passed, and it was the turn of the labelers. Heredity, date of fertilization, membership of Bakunovsky Group, details were transferred from test tube to bottle. No longer anonymous, but named, identified, the procession marched slowly on through an opening in the wall, slowly on into the social predestination room. So many individuals of such and such quality, said Mr. Foster, distributed in such and such quantities, said the director. The predestinators send in their figures to the fertilizers, who give them the embryos they ask for, and the bottles come in here to be predestined in detail, after which they are sent down to the embryo store. Thus far, the first reading from Brave New World. Does that sound far-fetched, even repulsive? 1963, Mr. Huxley died, but the brave new world he feared is fast upon us. A friend who is a bioethicist tells me that he has counted 43 different ways that scientists today are able to produce a baby. One of those 43 ways is the old Adam and Eve way, the way of the birds and the bees. Because of genetic engineering, we can correct a diseased gene in an embryo. What a great scientific advance! But the same wonderful technology can be used to custom design children. Since we already have Dolly, the cloned sheep, and other cloned animals, it's not going to be too long before someone in this world clones a human being. Now, if you're wondering what this has to do with Easter, the answer is this. While some of these advances are good, and others are absolutely frightening, one fact shall not change. You and I shall continue to live right where we are living now and where people have always lived. We live in the valley of the shadow of death. Recent medical advances have lengthened the human lifespan, but they have not and they will not eliminate death. Here is a second reading from Brave New World, a reading in which a certain Dr. Gaffney is reporting about his visit to a crematorium. Just returned from the slow crematorium, reports Dr. Gaffney. Death conditioning begins at 18 months. Every tot spends two mornings a week in a hospital for the dying. All the best toys are kept there, and they get chocolate cream on death days. They learn to take dying as a matter of course. Thus far, the second reading. Significant in this reading is the last sentence. They learn to take dying as a matter of course. The brave new world cannot eliminate death, so it has misrepresented the nature of death. It does not believe that death is the result of sin. This society rejects what the Bible says in Romans 5:12, death came through sin, death spread to everyone because everyone sinned. The brave new world rejects what the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. It rejects what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, that death is the last enemy. Oh no, they say deceitfully, death is just a natural part of life. Sound contemporary? In our day, propositions are regularly on ballots to permit assisted suicide. You don't want to be a burden to others, do you? Goes one argument. What a deceit! The Bible teaches that burden-bearing is what true love is all about. What's the difference between putting an animal to sleep and putting a human being to sleep? Goes another argument. Again, deceit. The Bible teaches that you have a rational soul, and you are qualitatively different than any animal or vegetable life. Since it cannot be eliminated, the society in which you and I live has chosen to misrepresent death. More than that, our brave new world is fulfilling the words of Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 and 15. We made a treaty with death and an agreement with the grave. We have taken our refuge in our lies, and falsehood is our hiding place. Hear now the Easter Gospel, St. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. On Sunday morning, the women were going to the tomb very early when the sun had just come up. They said to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. It was a very large stone. As they went into the tomb, they saw a young man. He was dressed in a white robe and sat on the right side. They were panic-stricken. The young man said to them, "Don't panic. You are looking for Jesus from Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been brought back to life. He's not here. Mr. Huxley is dead. But Jesus Christ is alive. He made no covenant with death. On the contrary, he has destroyed death. He says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, but now I am alive forever. I have the keys of death and hell." Jesus Christ is the only one to live in the valley of the shadow and come out alive. Yes, he really lived in the valley. Not some mythical Superman who flew in, did his thing unhurt, and then left. This only Son of God was conceived and born as a true human being, just like you and I, but with one important distinction. Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, has no sin. But he took the punishment for the sins of us valley dwellers upon himself. He did that at the cross. Jesus Christ has paid the price for all your sins, for your every sin, for your most troubling sin. Because he did that, there was no reason for him to stay buried in the valley of the shadow of death. Because Jesus paid the price of sin, the power of death has been broken. This Easter day, Jesus says to you, "Because I live, you shall live also." Today he gives you the good news that he lives to lead you out of the valley of the shadow of death. None of us will get out of this alive unless we follow him, who says in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Brothers and sisters, St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm making known to you the good news. You are saved by this good news. Christ died to take away our sins, as the Scriptures predicted. He was placed in the tomb. He was brought back to life on the third day, as the Scriptures predicted. If Christ hasn't come back to life, your faith is nonsense, and sin still has you in its power. Then those who have died as believers in Christ no longer exist. If Christ is our hope in this life only, we deserve more pity than any other people. But now, Christ has come back from the dead. He is the very first person of those who have died to come back to life. Since a man brought death, a man also brought life back from death. As everyone dies because of Adam, so also everyone will be made alive because of Christ. So let us now return to where today's message began. There is yet one more way of birth, but this is the most important way to be born. It is not physical, by the birds and the bees, nor is it scientific, by genetic engineering and social predestination. This birth, again I say, the most important birth, is the new birth that God works in people living in the valley of the shadow of death. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, says 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God works this new birth through the good news that Jesus Christ has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. This new birth into the hope of life is eternally changing more lives than medical science ever will. Mr. Onakan Keutai, a native of Laos, is a lay worker to his fellow Laotians at Trinity Lutheran Church, Des Moines, Iowa. He says, "When we took baptism, my heart was just burning for my people. They have no hope for the future when they die. Some families lost a wife. Some families lost the son. Some families lost their property. Right now, when they die, if they don't believe in Jesus, they have no hope for the future. It's not only my people, even American people who are not Christian. I want to help them, to bring them to know Christ. When they die, they have hope." May this new birth to life be yours also. Mr. Huxley is dead, and in so many ways the brave new world is fast upon us. But Jesus Christ is alive. He teaches you this Easter to renounce the covenant with death, our society's agreement with a grave. "Because I live," He promises, "you shall live also." Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.